Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Troilus Gold, traded on the TSX under the symbol TLG and on the OTCQX under the symbol CHXMF. We are chatting with Blake Hylands, president of Troilus Gold, just promoted to president actually mid last month, April 14th. Troilus is focused on the former gold and copper Troilus mine in Quebec. This mine was in production from 1996 to 2010, produced over 2 million ounces of gold and nearly 70,000 tons of copper. Troilus is now moving through further de-risking this project and moving through the economic studies necessary to show that this, well, can be another mine, a profitable mine. The company came out with a PEA back in 2020. Already has a resource of about 8.1 million ounces. The most recent news that came out April 29th says Troilus Gold drills record high grade in the southwest zone. So we're talking 92 grams per ton and 68 grams per ton gold over 1 meter and a little over 3 grams per ton gold equivalent over 15 meters. Blake, take us through this southwest zone. It's not necessarily a new development for the company, but one that you have been focusing a bit more on. Again, how does the southwest zone fit into the bigger picture for the project?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I mean, for us, the southwest zone is probably the most important, most impactful discovery we've made, and certainly the most important exploration growth we've had on the project since we started. And, you know, for us, we kind of joke, we wish we'd found it first. You know, it's a simple story. It doesn't require pushbacks. It's at surface. The grade is good. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger. When we put out the PEA, it was a brand new discovery. We'd only drilled 8,000 meters into this area, sitting 2 kilometers from the old 87 open pit that Inmet produced from. And we were able to very quickly, from those 8,000 meters, get 600,000 inferred ounces into that 8.1 million resource. That was over a 600 meter strike length. We now see it over 2 kilometers, and we're still seeing it in the drill hole down 300 meters and still open at depth. So it's going to show significant growth. And for us, we believe it's a center of gravity shift for the project. It's going to give the opportunity to have some optionality in production, hopefully feed a higher grade in the earlier years, pay off the project quicker and sort of take some of the pressure off of the old mine area. And again, that's why we kind of joke, we wish we'd started with it. We had 87 and J zone. We drilled around those like you would in 2018 and 19. We started building out an open pit story, but this southwest zone is really exciting and it would have been nice to start with that. But yeah, for us, it really is a critical path forward to continue to grow southwest.
Well, and Blake, it's even getting more interesting because there is this gap zone that you've been drilling in, and some of these drill holes were there where that you're seeing this high grade near surface, and it's continuing to expand the southwest zone and almost connect it with the main open pit resource. And we were joking before the call that a lot of companies have a connector zone or a bridge zone or some kind of a gap zone. But in this sense, you really do. You have the southwest zone that's growing to now 2 kilometers that's now starting to merge with the bigger deposit. So maybe speak to this gap zone area and why you're excited about the drill results you're seeing come back here.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think I've ever worked or seen a company that doesn't have a gap zone somewhere on their project, but this one is real, and it's starting to show to be real from some of the drill holes we put into it. Honestly, we did a handful of holes as pilot holes. They were really just trying to understand the geology in between. We weren't even really sort of aiming for grade, but certainly as that press release that we just put out shows, you know, there's a hole right in the center, right in the guts of that gap zone that ran over 4 grams per ton, over 7 meters, very close to surface. So what we are learning is that southwest zone is an analog of Z87, where Inmet produced most of the 2 million ounces historically. And the things they share, you know, are sort of host rocks and then these intrusives that come through them, these feldspar porphyry intrusives that come through them, both well mineralized. And what we're seeing through the drill bit and through geophysics is that we're able to actually trace some of these units back, you know, to each other. And if we can continue to drill across that, we're going to start to fill in that gap zone and really end up with more ounces near surface and, more importantly, higher grade near surface. So it's very exciting. You know, this gap zone is not going to make it into our upcoming PFS, but it is going to continue to be blue sky for the future here.
So, Blaine, how should people understand this exploration success that you're having, but then on top of already a well-defined resource? It sounds like this gap zone could provide some very nice economics because of the near-surface material, but you already have 8.1 million ounces. So how should investors look at this exploration growth on top of the already defined resource?
For sure. I think it's a great question and one we get a lot. For us, the focus of the drilling has not been on finding more ounces, but really finding high quality ounces, better grade, near surface, feed the mill earlier, give us optionality. Really, when we talk about de-risking, it's not so much being worried about being able to provide the tons. It's really about getting that overall grade up for as long as possible, pay the project off as quickly as possible, and just make the economics look that much better. So, you know, when we look at a 200 to 250,000 ounce gold, you know, plus there'd be a copper and silver component to that, we're already looking at, you know, an excellent large scale project. But if we can do that, you know, with grades even better than what we contemplate in the PEA, I think that's really going to start benefiting the investor. They're going to start seeing the value of the project grow even further.
Well, Blake, I know you're working on the PFS, and you mentioned you just cut off the drilling that'll be included in that, I think, last week. So that's slated to come out mid-year, but you already have a PEA in place. So just from a high level, I mean, you mentioned the big production profile there of 200 to 250,000 ounces per year. That's a pretty big mine. I mean, what else can you tell us about just what you already know from the PEA about what the production profile will be, what, you know, what the rough cost estimates will be? And then as you build towards this PFS, you know, are there any other work you're doing, metallurgical work or any other permitting work? What else are you doing to de-risk the project as you move into this PFS?
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I think the PEA now is a couple of years old. I mean, it's mostly out of data. We'll keep a similar production scale probably. We're looking at 35,000 tons per day, which is larger than what InMed had produced. You know, they started at 10,000 tons per day. They brought the mill up to about 20,000 tons per day. I don't know if they actually ever got that kind of production. But in doing that, you know, they really ended up with a Frankenstein mill. And they were efficient in how they used the mill, but the mill was not efficient for what they were trying to do, and subsequently cost them a lot in recoveries. And, you know, we've had some information out publicly that, you know, we're seeing some pretty excellent results from our met work using very similar style of process that they did, although adding maybe a finer grind with HPGR. But ultimately, you know, we're confident we're going to see improved recoveries from what they were doing. We're looking at producing much larger amount, you know, and certainly I think we're in a great jurisdiction. We have a lot of inherited infrastructure, a lot of earthworks, which is hugely important when we look at cost overruns that are going on in projects all around the world right now. A lot of those are in earthworks. And so we have a huge leg up in that regard. And of course, you know, we're looking at a pretty excellent gold price right now. So, yeah, I say the PEA is out of date, but, you know, it was a good, you know, baseline for us. And I think that the pre-feas is going to contemplate costs, seeing costs come up, and everybody's seeing that. We're going to see that. But it also means our infrastructure is worth even more. So I think we're going to have a pretty robust project by mid-year here.
So what are the catalysts coming for the company then? Because I know you're kind of wondering, is this a development project? You have enough ounces and you're going to have a PFS, but now you have this exploration. And the question is, can you guys even bring it into development? So where are the next catalysts going to come out of the company to drive the stock and even potentially bring in a major?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And we're a project that certainly is waiting for a study now, and that can often, you know, show itself in the market negatively, but ultimately something that we think is important to continue to de-risk the project, you know, especially something grades like this. You know, we saw that with Malartic and Detour and that kind of thing. They had to push forward until their value was recognized. And so, you know, catalyst wise, we're putting in our project descriptions for permitting. We've got some excellent regional results, which I think are showing the district scale potential here, which, you know, to the investor that's looking at it as, okay, when is it a mine? Maybe it's not the news they're looking for, but there are a lot of groups that are looking to say, okay, how does this become a camp? How do we make this the center of a hub and spoke story? And you do that by discovering things all around it. And then I think the PFS is going to be meaningful and hopefully impactful. So yeah, I think, you know, those are a few items that'll keep us busy this year, and hopefully you know, we see a continued strong commodity price, and that we see the, you know, the gold market really take note basically of what we're doing.
Well, Blake, just one more thing to highlight for folks that may not be familiar with the project is that while you've got a lot of gold, obviously, you also have a significant amount of copper and silver, especially on the copper side. So with copper doing so well over the last year, I think it's nice to highlight that you have some significant co-credits from the base metals along with the gold.
We do. You know, it's funny. I was down in BMO, Justin and I, and we were going to take meetings, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to be there, you know, a few years in a row. And years ago, it was sort of all gold, the gold story. Nobody cared about the copper. And all of a sudden, every meeting we had was, but how much copper do you have? Like, what's happening with the copper there? So yeah, there's a significant amount of copper, and it comes out in the con. We do 30%, or we will look to do about 30% from gravity. The rest will go to con, and the Horn in Ryan is obviously a place that's looking for that kind of feed. Copper is seeing high values and high demand, and we, you know, in the PEA could probably represent about, call it as a gold equivalent, about 600,000 ounces worth of copper in the project now. So it's, you know, it's significant value, and the attention is there for that. So it makes this a standout project. There's saleable silver as well, but much less. But yeah, I think it kind of satisfies both, you know, the need for copper, and also, you know, the gold bugs out there too.
All right, Blake, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for the update. We will post, as I mentioned, a link to the news release below. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. As more news comes out, we'll follow up with the team at Troilus Gold, especially as we approach that PFS, hopefully in July. Blake, thank you, as always, for your time. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Chad.